in our show.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Affert, my co-host. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization that is formed for abused and battered men, women, and children. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment, provide temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society, as well as men. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower individuals and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life, with a new perspective of what a normal life should be. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Thanks for joining our show today. Stephanie, how are you doing?
I am wonderful. What about yourself? Interesting day.
Yeah, trying to recuperate. For those who don't know, We Are Survivors is part of a huge community outreach summer program. And with the summer program, the Dallas Police Department has identified 6 low-income apartments complexes in District 3, 4, and 8. And what we're doing is we're actually going to interact with the children and the parents. It's people like you have GQ Movers, Roads to Success. The founder of that is Dominique Rhodes. He's actually a retired Super Bowl 2007 champion with the Colts. We have Granny's Place. We have My Neighbor's House. We have PAL, which is the Dallas Police Athletic and Activities League. And for those who know Ms. Edna Pemberton, who is a very well-known individual in the Dallas community, and we're all putting together this summer outreach program, like I said, for certain districts. And it is to educate our children, let them know that, you know, they even though they see the bad images on TV regarding police officers, and not all police officers are bad, that police officers are there to help, you know, to be their support system and not to harm. They're there to help them. So today was my first experience. Stephanie, this is her second day. And just to be in the apartment complex with the young children and really forgetting how hyper we were at that age, it was heartwarming. At the same time, it could be heart-wrenching because you want to give and help each child that you laid eyes on. So, yeah, today was fun. It was draining. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was so much. I think you had a lot more fun at your apartment complex than I had at mine because you all were dancing, doing line dances. We didn't do line, so I'm going to them know next week. We need some music. We need some line dancing. We played a lot of different games, which were fun, but we didn't get to dance. I feel cheated, so I'm going to have to say something next week.
We eased that in at the end, so we changed it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the fundraising event.
It was a lot of fun. We Are Survivors currently have several fundraisers that we would love for everybody listening or, you know, that listens in the future to participate in. We have the Kroger Plus Rewards card. So if you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card or if you will go out and get a Kroger Plus Rewards card, they're free, and go to Kroger.com to register it. And then once you register it at Kroger.com, then you can link it to We Are Survivors. If you start typing in We Are, then it'll pull up We Are Survivors. and you link it to We Are Survivors. And just make sure that every year you go in there and make sure that you're still linked to We Are Survivors, because each year you have to go in there and, you know, choose which organization you want to be connected to, because it will after a year, it will, you know, go off. And so each quarter, according to how much you spend, because we all get groceries and stuff, so according to how much you spend, then Kroger sends us a donation. So you're not doing anything extra. It's just the same spending that you're normally doing, but they send us a donation. Then we also do the same thing with Tum Thumb. So if you go to TumThumb.com and print their form and link your part to We Are Survivors, or if you contact us, then, you know, we'll help get a form to you, and we can help get it sent in so that you can get linked to We Are Survivors. Then we also do the CPN discount card, which is only $15 a year. Half of that comes to We Are Survivors to get discounts all over the U.S. And we also do the Compass Bank fundraiser. If you have a Compass Bank account, or if you go and open up a Compass Bank account and link it to We Are Survivors, according to how much you use it, they'll give us a donation. Then we also have the one with the photographer, the Purple City project. And I was at Wanda explain that one, because she's already gone and she's done her pictures. She did beautiful pictures and everything. So because she's already done that experience, it's so much easier to let her explain that one to everybody. But any of those that you're interested in, you can always call or text me at 817-320-2571. Back to you, Wanda.
All right. I'm going to go over the other fundraising event, and I'm going to touch on one that is coming. It's not this year, but we are working on it, and we are going to really look forward to the community supporting us and being behind us. But the first event I want to talk about is the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence photo shoot. And the photographer that does that, his name is City, a.k.a. Charles. There are actually four packages. I'm going to go over the first two. The first one is a $55 package that is a 20-minute session. And it is, you can have up to four people, unlimited shots, one look. So, ladies, that means actually one outfit. And then two edits. In translation, he's going to pick, you all can pick together or yourself, the top two pictures that you like, and then he'll fix them up, and that's what you take home for $55. Then you have your $80 package, which is actually valued at $160, and you have a 45-minute session up to four people. You have unlimited shots. You have two looks, which is two outfits, yay, and four edits, which means you have to pick the top four pictures. And then they will, he will fix them up for you to take home. Part of those proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors, and that's going to help get hotel rooms for men, women, and children when there are actually no beds in the shelters. And a lot of people don't know that is more so than not. Actually, founder of another organization called me this week, because we need funds. It's not only We Are Survivors. It's a lot of other organizations, Women Called Moses, that actually are out here and trying to raise money and get money so that when someone calls us and needs help, we can actually help them. And the major, major fundraising event that's coming down the pipes that We Are Survivors are working on, just discussed this yesterday, so this is really fresh off the press. We Are Survivors and the City of Lancaster are working together to bring domestic violence awareness to the community. Lancaster, for a lot of people, may be a small suburb, but domestic violence is their number one crime in Lancaster, Texas. When I found that out, that blew my mind. Not to mention, I guess about 3 weeks to a month ago, we did have a murder-suicide here in Lancaster, Texas, and killed a mother. She had children. So it's really necessary for us to get out and talk about domestic violence and let people know that you can survive it. You don't have to stay in it until that is your exit. There's options, there's choices, there's resources, there's people that care. So what we are survivors in the city of Lancaster is going to do is in October we're going to have an event with the chief of police of Lancaster, and we're just going to talk about domestic violence, get ideas, comments, questions, concerns from the community, give them an opportunity to talk about, you know, what's on their mind, as well as we're getting ready to start planning the first annual We Are Survivors Domestic Violence Awareness 5K Walk. So excited. So we will be reaching out to the community because we're going to need a lot of volunteers. We can't do this by ourselves. So that's one thing. Of course, I always want to go over what we are doing in the community. Since last week, we have 2 new dates added to our calendar since last week. So June is over. It's June 30th. So we're going to start with July. July 9th, we have a health fair with Strong Arms Church in Pleasant Grove. If, ladies, there are some free slots still left for mammograms, if you are interested in getting a mammogram, you can contact me or Stephanie. And that's for the health fair, July 9th. July 23rd, once again, we have the Celebrating Life Afternoon Delight Lunch in Cedar Hill. That's with Silent Screams, which is a 501c3, and I know you had to register for that because it needed a head count due to the fact that it is a free lunch. August 6th, this is a new date that was added. It is called Ladies Mid-Quarter Refill. They contacted me, and they are going to be donating some items to We Are Survivors. And this is a... Let me go into it's $5, and what it is they focus on mental and physical health issues such as depression, domestic violence, spiritual, fitness, hair, skin, gynecological issues, and much more. It's a meet and greet, question and answer session. They'll have specialists, yoga, they'll have jambox dance, workout, light bites, treat bags, giveaways. So this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And that is, again, July 6th. And let's see, the times is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be a dance workout, some yoga, a lot of different things going on. So it sounds like a really nice little event for women to come and talk and meet and mingle, dance, stretch, exercise. So, again, that's August 6th, not to mention they are putting this on, and We Are Survivors will be receiving the donation. So I'm excited about that. That's a new date that was added. August 13th is My Sister's Keeper Unity Party in Arlington. That is for girls ages 7 through 18. That is like a mentoring program. We're going to talk to the young girls, talk about bullying, talk about school, their goals. Just to let our young ladies know that, you know, there are positive things out in the world that they can latch on to and not the negative things that social media, television, friends, even family introduce them to. August 20th is the We Are Survivors second annual benefit event. That is in Addison from 5 to 7:30. Those who follow us on Facebook, the Eventbrite link will be put out there soon, so make sure you look for it. It will be circulating really soon so that we can start going ahead and getting those tickets sold as well as our vendor tables. We will have some Dallas police officers coming and speaking to talk about safety because it's really more of an empowerment event. It won't be the speakers and all of that. It's going to be the nice music, something to eat, and paint and enjoy and actually fellowship. Then we have someone's moving around and the noise. August 25th through the 28th is the International Women's Conference in Finland. And We Are Survivors will be there speaking as well as teaching class on domestic violence awareness. I'm excited about that and at the same time very nervous. Then we have September 24th, we have the United in Flight Conference, which is downtown Dallas. That is also free as well. That's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. October 1st, we have our quarterly empowerment event. That's in Addison. And October 22nd, we have the Granny's Place Women's Conference, which is in Duncanville. That's from 8 to 2. Sometime in October, we will also have the event in Lancaster with the Chief of Police. The date has not been set yet, to let you all know it is coming. Then we have November 19th. We actually have two events November 19th. And this new one has been added. November 19th for the Margarita Ball, which is a huge fundraising event. And then we've also been invited to speak at the Faith Church Conference, which is a church that's also helping us with the 5K walk. Then December 22nd, this list is long. December 22nd is our second year anniversary. Does not seem like it's just been 2 years, because We Are Survivors is extremely, 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 extremely busy. Giving all thanks to God, He's keeping us relevant, He's keeping us in the community. Is keeping people reaching out to We Are Survivors, acknowledging We Are Survivors, and we just want to be in a place where we can help individuals. And so we're thankful for that. I think that's it on my end. Stephanie, do you have anything to add before we turn it over to Mr. Sweeten?
Nope, you pretty much covered it all.
I know, that was a lot. We're really busy. Thank God for really busy. Well, Sweeten, we have you back on the show, and I think we're just going to actually have you as a permanent fixture, because I love the fact that we have a male survivor. I just feel like it's complete. We have a male survivor that can give us a male perspective. So now once we get back, start interviewing our, because we would, and something that you can also partake in, have people that we would interview come on the show and they interview when we talk, because now we have a male that can give his perspective and his take. We had a male on the show before that Stephanie had brought on, and it was really good to get someone else besides the women. And the good thing about you is you're actually a survivor, so that's awesome. And I don't know if you were at the tail end of your story, if he's going to finish your story, but I do want to make sure that before we start just giving you other stuff to do, that we give you the opportunity to finish telling us about your testimony. So yes. It's yours now.
Okay. I think the testimony would never be done until, you know, as my grandmother say, until you're laid to rest. But as far as up to now, where I'm at within my life, to give a recap from all of the last sessions, you know, from, excuse me, from starting to cook cocaine at the age of 6 years old, I was also being molested around that time, up to around about 10 years old. I was molested by a man and a woman, also a cousin of mine on my father's side of the family. Being homeless, I saw numerous murders. Both parents was on many different drugs and different narcotics. Physical abuse, being dead. It's a lot to take that in at this age. And just from the last session that we did have of in the adulthood, I did mention, as far as right before I changed to coming here to Texas, yes, I was still out there surviving, selling drugs, still doing whatever I had to do just to pay the rent, because it's so expensive where I'm from and so violent. It's really by any means and every man's for himself. At the placement, of looking back at all of those sessions, I noticed one thing that I never really focused on talking about, and that was forgiving.
Wow.
Forgiving. I've never forgave my father for beating me and the way he beat me. I never really forgave my mom for neglecting me after my father died emotionally and abusing me verbally. I never forgave the abuse. I never forgave the drugs, the molestation. Even to be in certain things of that, transcending into my marriage, I didn't even forgive my wife for being abused, because me and my wife went through a lot of things as far as with verbiage. And I had to really sit back and think on that. That one, that was yesterday, and today I'm in a different place. And I sometimes catch myself talking about the abuse, but I never really pay attention to the structure of it, because mm-hmm. that's what builds the foundation of who you are as a person. And I had to catch myself. I really did. I had to catch myself from the last session, because, you know, excuse me, you know, like I said, talking about the molestation, the drugs, and being dead, and all types of things, whether it's being locked up and shootouts and all of these things that taking place, was just me not forgiving and also being lost with my own emotions and not knowing how to talk and using the correct language and the correct words to convey how I feel. And that became a cycle. And that cycle came full forward. It just came back to me in a 360 on the last session, because it just hit me after I just got into so many tears. And when I hung up from you, I could not stop crying, and I did not know until I started praying, why am I really crying? And it's the fact because I never forgave. I never forgave anyone. I didn't forgive no one, because I was so trapped in the abuse and being abused. It was like, the people that's been abused can understand what I'm saying. You can walk outside and still feel like you're in a four-padded wall.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what I was doing all the way up till the last session. My cognitive skills and receptive skills are still on point to the point where I can talk, I can hear, and I can listen. But my emotions and my heart was talking but not listening. And I never fell down to my knees as hard as I did from the last session. Because I can talk, and I can talk, and now I kind of understand of now being used the right way. If I'm going to talk to help heal other men, how can I do that if I did not really focus on forgiving? I can help. I may help, even if I did not forgive, but a certain part of me is still going to be blind due to the fact that I did not forgive. And I have to forgive myself for beating myself up, for being so hard. I have to forgive myself for really going out there to hurt people, to show what really was going on with me. I have to forgive myself for the beating people up, for robbing them, for whether it was stealing, whether it was to the virgin, and that's just being honest. I've been in so close to the place where, like I said, shootouts. Can't say if I ever killed someone or not, because of the environment. Because of the environment. And when I look at that and I teach or I talk to kids, or like how I was talking to that girl, it helped her so much. And it helped me. But when I came home,
babies.
I still...
they really need that.
Yeah.
They need someone like you in their life. They really do. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said that, it made me remember this past Saturday, I spent some time with a student that I met at Lincoln High School with her and her sister. And we spent from 9 o'clock that morning all the way up to 1:30 that afternoon and had a blast. And it was just taking them from just showing them that there are adults that really care and can relate. And she actually shared with her mother. We were together Saturday. She told her mother that she was raped 3 years ago. She told her for the first time Friday before I met her mother Saturday morning because of us being there talking and me being in her life now. She felt compelled to let her mom know what happened to her. That blew me away. So when you said that about you and talking to the young lady, it really makes a difference in these kids' lives.
Yeah. Because I can blind myself for that. That's called disconnecting for the right reason. But can I reconnect but learn how to disconnect for me? And that's the hardest problem. And case, you know, bringing back to the even talking to that girl, I know that I opened a gate for her due to the fact that I was a male. And she said it herself, you heard it. I don't expect guys to go through this.
Right.
We do. But when I went home, I walk right back into the close up. I'm not standoffish or even in my home or my marriage, but I can just feel that so vulnerable that I'm going to close it up because I'm too scared to even let my wife, my mother, or anybody back into my heart because I did not forgive. And forgiving is deeper than saying, I forgive you. It's really about accepting what's been done, figuring out a way to move it away from you, but acknowledging it and also working through it. And it's kind of like my great-grandma would say, well, you know, everybody loves to go to the islands. She has these weird sayings. Everybody would love to go to the islands, but they fail to forget certain parts of the islands. You got to walk through the rainforest to get back to the beach.
Oh,
and in
wow.
those rainforests, you know, you have wildflowers, which are beautiful. But then you have poison, and you have sticker briars, and you have trees that are falling, and you have wild birds. And so anything can attack you and stop you. But the point is, are you going to keep walking through this forest until you get to that beach? And that's how I had to look at my abuse. I was walking through a rainforest while I'm crying. Excuse me, y'all. Because this is everything I'm saying right now is freestyle. I did not know what I wanted to say when I called. But I had to walk through that rainforest to get to my beach. And right now, I'm even still, I'm moving my last bit of trees and palms and everything, and I'm seeing the beach. I just haven't took the step to walk on it yet because I haven't forgiven anything that was done to me by the people that I loved. And that was what I have to learn. I can forgive a person
that
did not know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big relief. It's something that I need to get used to. And I had to catch myself because it was the same thing when I told the girl, you know, forgive your family, forgive your boyfriends. But how can I tell her that when truthfully I did not forgive the people who offended me?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you told them because you know that's the right thing to do.
Yes, I told it yes, because that is the right thing to do. But I also want to be the type of person, I want to tell you the right thing to do, but also lead by an example.
And lead by example, exactly.
So the best way that I can do that is to start going back to therapy. And instead of writing, because I used to even catch myself sometimes writing positive things on, even like on Facebook, and then certain things I'll say is kind of like, that could have sounded negative. And that's never my intention, but it's going to come that way because I have not forgiven what has been done to me. So now I clearly understand when they say, I just want peace. I just want peace. I want peace on my soul. I want peace in my spirit. I want peace in my heart. And I need to have the peace in my body, because what I do know and what I've felt, and I'm not scared of it, but I already had this dream that I'm going to come across another swimmer. And I need to be prepared for when that other swimmer comes to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who that boy is or that man is, but it's probably even going to be with you. But the day it happened, I'm going to call you, or if I'm there with you, I'm going to tell you I found swing. That's
wow.
What my forgiving was telling me. Get yourself in order now. Forgive your wife. Forgive your mother. You're not going to do it tomorrow. It's not going to be done by tomorrow. It may not be done by next year, but start. Because the minute you think that you're well and ready, this is what my spirit was telling me. I'm going to send you this wave of what you used to be and who you are. And only you can handle you, and only you know you. So when I send you this reflection of who you are, you're going to know how to deal with it. You're going to know what to say, and you're going to also know how to react. Because what I also found out for me, it's easier for me to talk to a girl like how I did at the school than it was hard. It was easier for me to talk to the boys because they all felt what I felt. Not saying that the women don't feel it, because they do. But to be brought up in a society where they say this is a man's world, where truthfully I don't believe that, but to live in that society, you can't cry, you can't talk about these things. We're all so many prisoners of words out here, and no one's being there for them or able to deal with them. And I also had to reflect on that, too. There's a lot of people that can't help and don't help. Maybe they haven't learned how to forgive themselves or what they've been through, or to even deal with that themselves as well. And that's where I decided to say, I'm going to start writing. So I went out and bought a journal, and I started to write. And I have another journal of what I experienced with outside people, like, you know, coming across you guys, my school, and then I have the personal journal where I'm going to make both of these books connect. And I have to get it off. The piece that I think that was there is not there. And I woke that devil up. And I never thought, excuse me, because I'm crying, but I never thought you can wake your own devil up in you, your own skeletons. Whether they're your own or they was given to you, you can wake them up. It's the question is, do you have fear, or do you still have fear in you where you're going to run from it? And I got caught into a situation literally 2 days ago where I said, I can't run. I won't run from a child. I won't run from a woman. or another person, but I will run from me. So now we're going to look in this mirror. And I'm going to say to myself, yes, you've been molested. Yes, you know what love was because you know how it felt when you didn't get it. Yes, you were abused. Yes, you were dead before. Yes, you was homeless. Yes, you did drugs. Yes, you sold them. You did everything under the sun. But then I had to look at, yes, I'm still alive. You see how I'm looking at my own skeletons? And then I turn,
yes.
But yes, I'm still alive. Yes, I'm still breathing. Yes, there's people that need me even when I feel like no one needs me. And yes, there is a God.
Yes, there is.
And that's my motivation. That's
my motivation.
Because I could have been another pedophile out here. I could have been a mass murderer. I could have been a psychopath. I could have been all of these things if, without forgiving, one thing I did have in my heart is love. So love has kept me this far and brought me this far for loving other people. And then, ding, ding, ding. Because like I said, this is all coming off the top of my head. I can't even forgive either until I start loving myself.
That's true.
Because when you're born and you have family, oh, you're not a part of us, or you're not this, or you're not great, you're not worth SHI, and these, like, that's what was always told to me. So I grew up thinking that I wasn't worth. So what? I had $300,000 and all of this money. I still wasn't worth anything. Because the structure and the foundation was already dismantled when I was born. So that's where I had to say, okay. So today, every day, I have to say these things. Yes, I was abused. Yes, I was hurt. Yes, I was dead. Yes, I've been on drugs. Yes, I sold drugs. Yes, my parents did this, and I've been homeless. But yes, I'm still alive. Yes, I'm breathing. Yes, there's someone that needs me. Yes, I am loved. And even if I don't see it, I need to keep saying it, because if I wasn't loved, I wouldn't wake up again. That means I've already lived my life. I've done what I need to do. It's time for me to ascend and go to another shell.
Right.
But I keep waking up.
God's not done with you yet.
And I'm not done. And that's my starting point. Writing now, getting it out, dealing with it. And what we also have to focus on when it comes to the abuse, we can't, sometimes, yes, we can go all day and talk about the past of how it was structured, whether it's the slavery or sometimes it's just the mental process as well. There are really just some evil spirits here on this earth walking. And I know, because I live with one. And that man's name was Swinton Austin Stroman Sr. And I'm his junior. These things here, I have to realize that it was just time to stop running away. Because even from you guys, and I've even told you, Ms. Wanda, I was so reluctant. I was kind of running away. Not saying that I know I need this comfort zone.
Right.
Being in that comfort zone and not forgiving, so you can block this off and, oh, let's try next week. You know. And when I got put in the corner, even by you, I didn't fight you. I didn't say no, or because I knew if I keep fighting, I would never know when I'm going to come across the blessing, because I knew you was a blessing. I knew you was a piece of something for me, but I had to have that open heart to see it. And that's how I know time to forgive is time to heal. Everything is, it did happen. And it's not to be like, so what? But sometimes even us, the survivors, have to say, you know what, so what? It happened. It happened, and I will make sure it won't happen again. And what can I do to make sure it doesn't happen to others around me?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are already doing that. You guys are already doing that. And I had to switch it up myself. I'm also taking the choice of not just to do hip-hop no more. I'm going to take what I write and talk about in my books. I'm going to also convey that in all to music. So the next couple of projects is going to be very painful as far as music. I'm going to have to get it out. It's kind of like I already have this plan where I want to try to write a book and have an album done with it.
Wow.
So for each chapter.
That would be interesting.
For each chapter, there may be a song. For each of those chapters. And then hopefully I can put it into video. I have a plan of what I need to do for myself as musically. But I do know you guys got something in store for me too. You guys definitely have something in store for me. And
yep.
I'm just gonna let God take it. I'm gonna let God take it. Wherever it goes, wherever that needle drops, I'm just going to take it. Because I can talk to you guys.
For us, you're an answer to a lot of questions. And Stephanie can also, as we say, co-sign. Because we have gone to events, and I kid you not, and have spoken. Either I've spoken, both of us have spoken, and I had a young man come up to me. I say young, but he was actually a deacon at this church, with tears in his eyes. And he needed and desired help. I couldn't help him because I can't relate to how a man feels. I can't relate to the process that a man goes through that's been abused.
Yeah.
I can tell you how a woman feels. I can tell you what I can relate to a woman because I'm a woman. And I know for men, it's a totally different mental thing that they're dealing with as a man. And
yeah.
I didn't want to do this justice to him because I could not feel what he was feeling when it comes to him being a man and being a survivor. I understand the survivor role, but I could not relate to him on that emotional turmoil that he was going through because he's a man. And we've had men come up to us, and I had to turn them away. And unfortunately, we were at an open forum, and that was one of the questions. No one knew where men could get help. That is just unheard of.
Because
so,
nothing made for us.
Yeah, and
there's no foundation.
Yeah, when we were formed, it was strictly for women and children. But God said, no, open it up to men. And I was like, but God, how I can't relate to him. He's like, I have you, child. But we changed because when we were originally formed, it was strictly for women and children. But when I saw this need and God was like, this, I'm showing this to you for a reason. And then for you to walk in our lives, I was like, oh, honey, we've reeled them in. We got them. Here we go. Because your soul... You're so open. You're so pure. You're so and this is my word, transparent. Because when God
yeah.
showed me my calling, what he told me was I had to be transparent. And I cried in a fetal position. I cried so hard my eyes would not open the following day because I was like, you want me to do what? But
yeah.
you're so transparent. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a male version of me.
Yeah. I told you
and
that
had,
you are a lot alike.
I was like, okay, God, you said, and I never questioned him because the vision he showed me, it's unreal. But
mm-hmm.
when you and I crossed paths, I was like, okay, he's got to be a weird survivor. It's not one of someone that we've talked to or helped along the way. No, he's got to be part of We Are Survivors. Because you're like the male version. I'm going to probably constantly thank you a whole lot of times for just being transparent, for just allowing God to use you, for allowing God to put you in a space where you are sharing your story. And I know
yeah.
even with me, I say it, I know, at least once a week on the radio show, but even when I got up to speak Saturday, I still get choked up. Tuesday, when I had the fashion show, and they totally, completely caught me off guard because they asked me to come back out and tell my story. And I feel like I was in church. You know when you're in church and someone's giving
mm-hmm.
their testimony and everybody start clapping and trying to, it's okay, baby, let God use you. They start clapping for me because I got choked up, like, wow. But I've said it so many times, it never gets easier. It never,
yeah.
ever.
Because
every
time I
say it,
mm-hmm.
go ahead.
I think the reason why, and even like I've always told you, I don't believe this is a man's world because the earth dies and it comes back to life just like a woman's womb when she's on a cycle. So it's natural for a man to be abused. It's just like sometimes as one, and I'm getting off the record, it's kind of when we go on our personal call. Sometimes I'm quiet because I just want to hear your voice or I want to just listen to Miss Stephanie talk. Because it's the woman that nurture us. So we're automatically may going to go to a woman because it's like running to our mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
that
the cycle
sense.
That's also built. You give us milk. You give us food. You clothe us. You bathe us. You give us everything that a man can't give us. And when a man, even as a child, to basically try to feminize you, because that's basically what's being done, whether it's through his sickness or his ill will or hers, they're feminizing. They're feminizing the men. And we're going to always, even myself, I'm going to always run to a woman before I may run to a man. Because it's the nurturing. I know for a woman, because I've seen this happen, many cases like yours, where that woman could not do nothing but apologize for what happened. And it hurt her more because she could not say nothing. So that's also a part of my forgiving. I'm open with it because I got tired of walking in shame. Like, I'm walking around my family every day, and you guys want to abuse me verbally, but the minute I bring up my abuse, or who molested me, or who used to sit me in the corners because my grandmother didn't like me and wouldn't feed me because y'all didn't like my father, or no one wants to hear these things. So I said, speak louder. I'm going to keep speaking, even if I run you away, because I know now
who was really the sick one. So speaking to a man, even on the outside, I'm still doing my music, my arts. And this is something that I, even if I want to run away from his one, I can't. Because there's a 10, there's a 5, there's a 8, there's a 7, there's a, basically from a 5 to 50-year-old man needs somebody like me, and I need them too. They say the greatest teacher is the teacher that can teach a lesson and still learn the lesson within it. And I want to be a teacher student. I may have to go on a slower pace. But I'm going to get some of these brothers out of that mentality. Because it's the same way as a woman. It really is. It's just in masculine form. We are hurt. We don't know why this happened. Who can we really run to? Because you're a boy. You're a boy. Like, so it's like you basically let that happen. I've even had people say, you let that happen. I'm a child. What do you want me to do when a man or a woman has my arms pinned and they're kissing on me or they touching this or putting their tongue here? Or what do you want me to do as a child? A 60-pound-year-old child fighting off a 200-something-pound person. Oh, so it's the hurt. And no matter what man, I don't care because I went through it. Every person I saw it. And I even had to look at myself. I ran to this woman that I end up marrying. And I still know, and she is. My wife is beautiful and perfect. But I ran to her because I know she was. Instead of me running to her and telling her, I want to be a partner and I need help. So basically I fell in love to run away from something that was still following me. The abuse, the not forgiving, the hatred. So no one can say that none of that stuff didn't portray in my relationship. I'm defensive. I don't trust. And that woke me up last session. It made me look at now how much I hurt my wife when I don't reply to her. It makes me now know how much I am hurting someone now that I don't know that still even just wants to speak to me about abuse. So the case and the moral of this whole story is I have to rise up and I have to stand with my chin up. And I may cry. I may do these open speakings and cry. But I have to do it. I have to do it. Whether it was with you guys or someone, I have to do this. And I think this is what's going to kick me into forgiving. Knowing that I'm helping. Knowing that I'm giving someone that peace of mind that I never got. Because misery. My wife gives me love in abundance. But from random love, it's beautiful too. And that day where I felt like it was time to release was the day that I hugged you and Miss Stephen. And you guys held me so tight. And I even I don't know if Miss Stephen remember, I just grabbed her hand and I didn't want to let her hand go. I did not want to let her hand go, because she gave me the hands of a nurturing person. They were soft. Her hands was warm. I felt her energy. She was genuine. Your hug, without you even saying anything, your hug said to me, Miss Wanda, I'm sorry, Swinton. That's what we need.
And that's what I was feeling.
That's what we need. And I'm here to tell the brothers it's okay. Because I know a couple of thug brothers that has been molested. And they all thugs, though. But the minute you touch that one button, it breaks them down just like me. So sometimes now you got to ask yourself, is half of these people that's murdering people, are they really crazy? Or some of these people are really being molested.
Or so, angry.
Yeah. Or angry from it. So they become either passive-aggressive or psychotic. And yeah. A good friend of mine that I know, his brother was molested by his father, though. My father didn't do that to me. He just beat me and went on and killed people. And when he finally came to an agreement of why he did it, he said it. He said it because I was molested and no one cared for me. And I was just angry. So anybody that makes me mad or do anything to me, I felt like I needed to kill them.
Wow.
So now you got to look at these rapists, these stalkers, these structure, cycle, not being helped, men. Remember I told you the buck and breaking, because it happens to white men too.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes us feel the same way for a girl when it comes to us. But I've been dealing with, like I've told you, but I've been dealing with women so long with it, I just knew what to say to that girl. I can't tell her what to do with her body, but I knew what to say. And that's when you looked at me. I do remember you. And I don't know if it was Miss Stephanie or it was you. I haven't saw a male speak to a child like he can relate, as if not trying to be funny, as if I had her body parts. Do remember being choked like she was choked. I do remember being blindfolded. I do remember being lured in and fighting so I won't be penetrated. Those things do a whole lot to you as a man.
Wow.
So to hear that child look at me and say, I don't know who to speak to, but I'm tired of this. That made me feel like she was borderline suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God that we caught that girl, because we would have lost her. I swear on my life, I thought we would have lost her.
And you know what? It never fails. As soon as our conversations get deep, our time runs out.
Yes, ma'am.
But listening audiences, we have Sweden on forever. So we'll pick up our conversations. We will again once start having our open forums and once again start having guests on. And just to welcome our listening audiences to Mr. Sweeten, who is a part of We Are Survivors, and we are excited to have him, who's going to lead our male division. Once again, thank you. Feel free to contact us with any questions, comments, and survivor stories. The direct number is 214-454-2933. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening. Pray that today something on this show touched your heart. Eventually, for our male listeners, we will also be having different things going on for you as well. We're going to get together with Mr. Sweeten and start talking about different programs and different things that we can do. I want to thank you all again. We are here to help, support, guide, listen, and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. We will worship his holy name at all times. God bless everyone, and thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Have a good evening.
All right.
Bye-bye.